good evening. You're listening to Urban Conversation. I'm your host, Miguel Marie. We already got stuff starting up already, but we're going to keep on pushing forward. Let me get my two co-hosts, Manuel Hill and James Manning, going on here. This is crazy. I'm not even going to tell you guys what's going on over here, but how you guys doing? How was your weekend and all of that good stuff, Manuel and James?
Beautiful, beautiful weekend.
Same here. Very nice weekend. Very, very good weekend. I can't complain.
Okay, well, my weekend, even though you guys didn't ask, I spent it getting back to, I think I'm about 80% now health-wise. I've been fighting the flu, so I'm almost back 100%. So when I get back to 100, then you guys know you really have to look out. So
I preferred the one with the raspy voice. The raspy voice kind of had a little bit more, a little something to it, a little raspy tone.
Was that sexy for you, Manuel?
I kind of got off the phone. I don't know how. I felt a certain kind of way. I don't know.
You was feeling some kind of way about my mucusy throat.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but I'm just saying,
I don't know what that means either, but since this is our Sunday freestyle, we could talk about that a little later and figure out what exactly does that mean.
listen, sexy voices work. I mean, listen, I don't have that nice deep radio voice. I don't have that. But if like this radio show was done in the morning when I'm waking up and I got my voice on,
You got that awesome
house going on. Yeah, I'll be whitening it just a little bit, something like that.
I know, it's something about it. I don't know, that's what a lot of men though. It's something about you guys when you have that morning voice going on. That's hot.
Yeah, a little groggy, a little froggy. Yep, y'all be digging it. We know. That's when we start talking.
some of you still sound crazy, but okay.
Because I admit, I sound like Cookie Monster in the morning, so there's nothing sexy about that. So
really,
you don't know, James. That's why your woman she walks it in the morning, because when you wake up and you talk to her, good morning, she's like, damn. She's like, wait a minute, that sounds like a different dude right there. That's why they want it in the morning. It's a morning voice. It's a voice. It's not the breath. It's the voice.
That's how you get the cookies in the morning.
Nah, our mornings are more like, what are you doing on my side of the bed?
you step your game up.
it's hot. Please move over.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's like, oh, let's cuddle. It's hot, nigga. You hot? Get off me.
No, you see, because you're doing it the wrong way. No, ain't nobody trying to cuddle in the morning. The cuddling, that's all done with in the morning. That's where get that nice, real quick, hot and steamy loving going on. Just put your hand around her waist and pull her in, and then whisper in her ear, be like, what up, babe? Come on. She's not trying to cuddle with you in the morning. That's why you ain't getting the cookies. Okay, listen. Have either of you been drinking tonight at all? Alcohol?
No, not for me, I haven't.
Oh, Manuel, what are you drinking? I know Manuel has something in his cup. He's drinking something. What are you drinking? And he's quiet. Where did he go? Manuel, did we lose you?
Maybe we lost
him. I'm sorry. I'm here. I'm here. No.
Are you drinking? What are you doing?
No.
We're doing a show, Manuel. We're live.
I had to take a sip. So y'all caught me in the middle. I was laughing when y'all mentioned it, because right as y'all said who's drinking, I was taking a swig. So that's I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. So what are you What are you? Okay, tell us, what are you drinking, Manuel? What are you drinking?
Listen, I don't drink anything flavored, so there's no flavored alcohol. So it's just regular vodka on ice. I'm poor, so there's no Ciroc, there's no Kettle One, there's no Belvedere. This is regular Smirnoff and ice. That's exactly what's going down. And
so
there you go.
So you over there getting lit again?
Oh, why not?
Are you?
Oh no.
We don't know what is gonna be said tonight. But for our listeners, you can join the open chat. Hold on a second. You can join the open chat that's on our Facebook page. It's Urban Conversation Radio. So join us there if you haven't already as well. You can join us and make sure you follow us on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to call in to ask a question or just say what's on your mind, this is Sunday Freestyle. You don't have to go with any topic that's being discussed. You can just go with something random. You can call us in at 347-677-0626. Again, that's 347-677-0626. Okay, so did anything interesting or exciting happen with you guys this past week or weekend?
I wouldn't say exciting. Started off with the basketball with March Madness, and every year I get into this pool. There's 177 of us in the pool. The best I've ever done was 15th. This year, after the first part, I believe by Thursday evening I was at 143rd out of 177th. Checked it again, I got down to 152nd, so it's about $1,200 at stake, and I have no plans on spending any of it. So
wow. Oh.
That's my disappointing. It just sucks. That's why I hate the tournament.
James, you're giving me grumpy old man right now. Like
I you know what? When you have $1,200 at stake, and there are 3 weeks
to compete.
You're out of it the first 5 hours. That's something that's kind of like that pisses you off. It's like, wait a minute, I'm not even in the mix. It's kind of like the Cubs.
Yeah.
You know how the Cubs is like, you know, April 1st opening season, first pitch, and the Cubs season has come to an end. You know, that's how we are. I mean, it's just like, you know, the Cubs, we're in it for the first game, and then after that, we're out.
So are you like right now? Are you still like in a pissy mood? Are you just like you just want to like?
I'm in a pretty good mood because the wife here made corned beef and cabbage this evening and some cornbread, and it was very good. And I just had a great meal. It was very good. So I'm in a very good mood. Eating.
Are you sitting?
Food is kind of like, you know, a cure-all for all ills in the world.
Okay. Are you sitting there in your, like, lounge chair with your hand on your pants because your stomach is, like overflated from eating too much or what?
You know what? I mean, every once in a while, you know, I get my Al Bundy look going and it works for me.
No. It works for no man ever. Just FYI.
Yes, it does.
You guys look like you look like old nasty pervs with your hand down your pants. Like, stop it already.
I'm sorry. You know what? You have to forgive me because I dropped my sexiness off at 41. Okay, it's done.
You gotta pick it back up. But hold on. So Manuel, what happened with you this week? Anything interesting or exciting this week or this weekend?
Gosh. I went out. Golly. Let me see. For the first time, I went to this restaurant called The Majestic in Midtown Atlanta. For breakfast, really good breakfast, really good spot. It's been around for quite some time, and the food was really good. The environment was pretty good. I went out with a friend of mine, And yeah, and just, you know, and this is kind of my date thing, you know, my date recommendation thing for people.
Are you? See, we know you're drinking because it's not even time for that. But you're gonna do it now? Are you different?
Well, no. Well, I can kind of go into that based on this, but you know, I mean, you know, we went out just for regular date. You know, just go out and get something to eat, have a, you know, socialize, have a good time, and you know you're doing well when you know, y'all women don't necessarily want the night to end. Like, that's when you're doing well. You know, whatever you've done up until that point, you've done well.
Mm-hmm.
And so then,
yeah.
So then we just follow that up with the, you know, with a little bit of dancing, with some, like I said, play some music, a little bit of dancing and all that good stuff. And it's always interesting. And that's always a good time. And then, you know, you close out the night on the late note as opposed to getting the pat on the back after paying for dinner or whatever the hell else you pay for, getting the pat on the back and just going. You know, you go out, you dance, you grind. Sweat a little, kiss a little, touch a little, and then, you know, take your little stuff on, you know, take yourself on about your way. So that's always interesting and always good. And especially this time of year in Atlanta when the weather's getting nice, you know, people are starting to come out.
Here's a question
okay.
I have. I'm sorry. What is, I've always wondered about this. What is the nightlife like in Atlanta? Because for the longest time, you know, I'm from Chicago where there's so much activity going on, but I've noticed in Chicago the places, the establishments where black people mingle have dwindled because of, you know, I mean, violence, you know, for the most part. Every place we open, we shoot up. So there are not that many places in Chicago for black people. I mean, what is it like? What are the options like in Atlanta? I mean, is it kind of, you know,
Atlanta,
I know I don't hear the stories like, you guys don't have the same level of violence as Chicago, obviously. But
no,
what is like, you know, that nightlife really like in Atlanta?
You get a mixed bag in Atlanta. There's actually two sides to it. There's the fake celebrity, wannabe celebrity nightlife that is there and available for everybody to partake in. And then there's the other side. The other side is where the locals go, where people who know what they're doing and where they're from going. You don't have the violence that you had in the 90s in Atlanta, because what has happened is a lot of the stuff that was on the outskirts in the metro areas has kind of dwindled. So everything is more centralized in an area where it's downtown, midtown, Buckhead or whatever, where you can go there and it's an adult crowd. You don't have the young crowd mixing with the adult crowd so much. So you don't have the young people shooting stuff up, getting violent, and mixing with the grown people just trying to do their thing. Depending on where you are in Atlanta is a big thing. You can be on the upscale side, or you can be where things are normal. One of my favorite parts is Midtown, because your restaurants in Midtown and the club environment isn't overbearing to the point where there's these long lines, there's a lot of craziness going on in the clubs. What I mean by that is, You can find a spot in Atlanta at night that you can go dance and go listen to some music and have a good time right after you grab something to eat, and it's in the same area. That's if you're in Midtown. However, be careful.
Yeah.
Be very careful in Midtown. And this is why I would say that. For one part of Midtown, you and your woman, you can go out, y'all can have a good time, cool. Or y'all can meet up somewhere, and, you know, she's at a restaurant, you're waiting on her, she comes in, cool. If you take the wrong turn and end up at the wrong place at the wrong time, you will be the only guy in an establishment that is into women. And this happened to me before. I met somebody for the first time, or maybe the second time, I can't remember, and we were going to the Daiquiri Factory. And it's right downtown, and it's in Midtown. And the Daiquiri Factory, that sounds cool. You know, young women, they like sweet drinks, a little bit of music, a little bit of atmosphere. I had never been. So I'm like, let's meet at the Daiquiri Factory. So as I'm sitting in the damn Daiquiri Factory, I kind of look around and I realize there's a few couples, but then there's a bunch of dudes. And as I'm paying attention to the dudes, I'm like, oh, man, these dudes, they seem like they like dudes. And so I'm trying to sit somewhere, you know, off to where I can see her as she comes through the door, but kind of away from the action, and it's just not possible. If I could do that night over, it would be we meet up here and we walk in there together. Because that moment when you're sitting there and you're a dude at the table by yourself and it's a bunch of dudes checking for other dudes, that's not a good place. So you got to be careful.
Okay, yeah, okay.
So that, let me ask you guys a question because that's funny. Have you ever, either one of you, James or Manuel, have you ever had a homosexual that aggressively came after you? And not aggressive in the sense that they, listen, not aggressive in the sense that they, you know, were going to, you know, like they accosted you, but, you know, just very, very flirtatious. Have you ever had that experience?
Whoa. Okay, let me go, because I'm in Atlanta.
And don't lie, because you guys have a pretty... You guys are kind of pretty, so.
No, I'm not pretty. No, I am not pretty.
You are pretty.
I'm relatively
you
easy
are.
In the eyes. No, bullshit,
accept your prettiness. Accept it. Embrace your pretty boy.
Okay, I got more than a few stories. I'm going to give you this story. I was working in Midtown. Hold on, I was working in Midtown, and when I first got back to Atlanta in 2011, from 2011 to about 2013, I worked a part-time gig, just 5 hours, 3 nights a week in Midtown, you know, security gig, you walk a parking deck, make a few bucks, cool, right? So one night, I'm walking, doing my thing, just, you know, hitting my dots, you know, checking the scene out, making sure doors are locked, and this dude comes up to me, and he asks, is there a place where he can charge a phone? Mm. And in Midtown, you got to be very wary of the random conversation from guys. So I'm sitting there like, I already know what time it is because I can pick up on it. I'm like, all right, bruh. I'm trying to be as manly in my conversation as possible. I'm like, all right, bruh, go up in the spot.
Oh,
right
no.
And ask him, can you use the charger? And ask him, can you use the outlet? And he's like, oh, okay. And then he said, so do you know any places around here that's hiring? It's midnight. Why are you asking about anything that's hiring? I'm like, nah, bro. I don't know nothing about nothing that's hiring. All I know is I work for the security company. But, hey, go in there, charge your phone, ask the bartender, are they looking for help? He's like, okay. Then the third question came. No, the third question was, so the people you working for, are they hiring? Nah, bruh, right now we got a freeze on applications, they ain't hiring right now. He's like, oh, okay. And then the last question, so are you hiring? I said, man, hell no. That's what he asked me, was I hiring? And I'm looking at this dude. And he's sitting there with his phone in his hand, and he's looking like got this little smirk on his face. I'm like, bro, really? And in Atlanta, if you're in Atlanta, you're in the Midtown area, and you're a guy, and you're by yourself, you could be at a stoplight, you can be at the bar. They will look your direction, and they might speak up. It will happen. There's no question about it. So you just
well,
gotta
see,
kinda...
see, that's not, Mama, that's not too bad. I've heard more stories.
You know what, that is kind of, I mean, because you would think they know how to pick up on cues, right? Maybe they don't.
They don't care because,
so many men are so under the cover.
There you go.
And the most masculine men.
There
are
you
the
go.
The very ones chasing that booty from the dude. So
there you go.
Okay.
That's what it is.
So that macho nonsense. No.
And that's what it is because in Atlanta there's a lot of that going on where there's a down low atmosphere. There's guys that are looking, but they won't stay looking. So the guys that are out there, they'll approach any dude, kind of on a slick tip, hoping to just get enough of a reaction out of them. So Atlanta, it doesn't matter who you are. You could be just now coming off a construction site. Your hands are dirty, ashy, you greasy. You got a beer in your hand, a lunch pail, and you whistling at women. If one of them brothers, if they want to say something, they'll find a way to interject themselves into something and put it out there if that's what they want to do. And I'm guaranteeing you, it has to have been successful, because I'm pretty sure they wouldn't be doing it unless it's worked in some way, shape, or form.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Well, hold on. Let's shift gears for a second. Wait, James, first of all, have you ever had an experience, real quick? Because I wanted to know. I don't want to cut you off.
No, I haven't.
Okay, good. Anyway, shifting gears. One of our, and Manuel, you'll actually remember this, and I'm sorry, I'm sucking on this big old ball peppermint, but there is one of our favorites, Wendy Nurse. She actually put a thread up, and I saw a few people this past week that have started threads about this. This whole interview with Taraji,
oh,
whatever.
Here we go.
Hold on. So, me and Manuel, we were able to get on beautiful Wendy. We love her. She had started a thread about it, so we were kind of able to get on there. Okay, this is the thing. I get it. I get that a lot of times people will read something and you sort of put your own personal interpretation on it. You got to be really careful about that. I tend to look at the whole thing, you know, in totality, because you can't take one sentence and try to run with it. But she made a comment, Taraji. She said that in a nutshell, that she doesn't claim a man unless he's put a ring on it. And looking at several other threads that people had started on this same topic, it seemed like the men, you know, were really up in arms with that, and the women were kind of like, oh, I see what she means, da, da, da. Now, the interpretations that I heard that some of the women had of what she said kind of made sense, but if you go by just what Taraji said, I got to kind of say, I don't know about that. So what is your opinion? What is your opinion? Let me finish the question, Mr. Vodka drinker over there. What?
People not going to like me. Okay.
Look, Manuel's been drinking. He's been drinking. Okay, listen, what is your opinion on that point, you know, that perspective of it's not really a viable relationship unless he put a ring on it, which is basically what she was saying. I mean, is that total BS, or is that, what is that?
Okay. Well, okay, one thing I will say, I will confirm one thing. If a man has proposed marriage, then it does give a level of validity to a relationship that any other relationship doesn't have. Obviously, a woman that's saying, this is my fiance, as opposed to this is my boyfriend, there's a different level to that. So I'm not taking anything away from that perspective or that idea. That's valid. However, listen, for Taraji to say that, I'm not claiming a man unless he puts a ring on it, is way different from the other 99%, because let's be clear, she is in the top 1% in almost any category you want to think of. She's in the top 1% financially. For her age group, she's in the top 1%, probably physically. She is, as far as her reputation, I don't follow tabloids or anything about people's reputations, but I haven't heard anything. So she's not a Kardashian to where every time you turn around, there's a new guy. So for the most part, she's up there to where her standards have to be above the average, because she as a woman is above the average. On every level, on one level. Not. It's not that she's just fine, because, you know, some guy, well, she's fine. She can say that. No. She's not only fine, but she can buy the average person two times over, I'm sure. And she has more to lose by somebody like me, Manuel, just running around saying, me and Taraji go together. You know, she has more to lose. So she can say, I'm not claiming a guy unless he puts a ring on it, because he has more to gain from claiming her if he's an average guy than she has from claiming him. So if she says, this is my fiance, that lets it be known to the public that this is what it is. Now, you're a regular everyday woman. Regular everyday woman, I'm sorry, if you're not in the top 1% financially, you're everyday. Physically you can be just as fine as Taraji. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of women walking around physically that are on their level. That's cool. Status, reputation, nationwide, nah. The average woman ain't walking around with that. So she can have that standard and demand that standard easily, and God will understand that based on where she is in life. But if you cannot come to me and be anywhere not on that level and say, well, I'm not claiming you as my man unless you put a ring on it. Bitch, please. I'm sorry. Walk. Like, it's a wrap. No question.
I'm keeping it 100. And we love you for that. Hold on. So let me be clear because I want to make sure that I am understanding what you're saying so that I, you know. So basically, you feel like Taraji is speaking, you know, for that whatever percentile she's in monetarily, and that because of what she makes monetarily means that she should have higher standards, and so the average hardworking woman who doesn't have what she has, what Taraji has monetarily in the bank, should then lower her standards and accept a subpar relationship because she does. Okay, so that's not what you said.
No.
Okay, good.
No,
why I wanted to repeat it back to you because I wanted to make sure that, because I know there's some, as a matter of fact, I'm getting some
listen to what I'm saying. Not only financially, but I'm talking about reputation. Let me tell you right now, if you're a lawyer and you're making in the six-figure range, let's say you're making you're grossing $250,000, $500,000, but nobody knows you. Nobody gives a damn. Like, who cares? I'm talking about a celebrity with a reputation that I think is pretty much blemishless, with her financial backing, with her appeal. I'm sorry, because if I walk out and I get the right person and I say, yeah, me and Taraji have been seeing each other for the last 6 months, that is going to go bananas. However, if I say I'm seeing Miss XYZ, she's a lawyer working for the state of Georgia, and she makes XYZ, you dating a lawyer, who cares? No, it doesn't matter.
Let's take it away from Taraji. Okay, I want to address the ideology that she stated in her interview, because she you know, we get that, you know, and actors are like that. I'm in that industry, so we know that they're crazy, and you know, they're artists and so forth. So they always think that they're above everything. Anyway, but let's talk about the ideology that she brought up that is not something that is status related, because a lot of women feel this way, that if you're not putting a ring on my finger, you know, don't ask me what I'm doing with my girlfriends on the weekend. Don't be trying to keep track of me, because if you like it, then you should have put a ring on it. So they, you know, there's a lot of women who subscribe to that belief system that, hey, if you're not taking that serious step, if that's what they both, you know, if that's what that particular woman wants, because all women are not looking to get married, but for the women that are, they feel like if you're not gonna put a ring on it and claim me in the sense of saying that I'm worthy to be your wife and that that's the steps that we're going, then I'm not sure. I personally see a lot of flaws in that ideology, but James, tell me, what are you thinking about that mentality? Is that going to hurt women, or is it helping? What's going on with that?
Well, I think the thing is that I always come this way. I always say, govern yourself accordingly. And it is simple, is that when the relationship is progressing, then you progress to certain levels and certain responsibilities, and you have certain accountability. You have a certain level of accountability based on those levels. It's kind of like when you invite someone over to your house. For the first time you invite them to your house, you don't expect them to go into your refrigerator and make a sandwich. It's like, no, you sit on the couch. I will get you your drink, your food, whatever. About 3 or 4 months, 6 months in, okay, you know what? You're free to roam around the house a little bit. A year in, okay, maybe you leave a toothbrush or something like that. When you go into a relationship and we're progressing to a level, then you're not claiming that we are what we actually are would be a problem. Okay?
Exactly.
If we're dating, then we're dating. If we're seeing each other, then we're seeing each other. If we're exclusively dating, then we're exclusively dating, and I expect you to acknowledge that. But as far as your actions are concerned, no, if we're just exclusively dating, I'm not expecting you to pay the mortgage.
I want to keep you on the question I asked. So let me ask you this. When do you feel like a woman should claim a man or vice versa? What point in the relationship is it, when you both decide and say, hey, we're just seeing each other? Is it when you both decide to have the conversation about, hey, one day I see myself getting married to you? When do you, you know, when does that point come where you're claiming the person?
I think when you decide to be exclusive is at that point that you start claiming that person. That's my opinion. Now, I can understand, like what Manuel said, when you're a celebrity and big status, is that you don't want your name attached to a lot of different individuals. So I can say to you that, okay, if I'm a celebrity, especially for a female celebrity, and you don't want that reputation of being something like a Kardashian where you dated this guy and that guy, I would tell a guy, look, you don't say my name. We're just cool. And until something else jumps off, we're just cool like that. Okay? But for regular folk, it is when we're exclusive, then, you know, if I'm hanging around you and your friends and you say, well, we're dating and this is my girl, and then you say, well, he's just a friend, I will have a problem with that. I'm going to have a problem with that. So because I'm not just a friend, because just a friend is not going to do all of the other things that you expect me to do as your man, you know?
Okay.
So that's basically where you have that. So I can get where people will say, am I dating someone, but I may not bring them around my family. If I have children, I may not bring that person around the child until it's very serious. And
then we
get ready to build. So those are the type of things. When there are children, I understand of not basically showcasing a person just because you're dating and you're getting to know a person. But, you know, everyone else out there, you know, when there's no children and none of all of that stuff involved in reputations and celebrity status and everything, is when you're exclusive, that's when you claim the person. Until then, you're just dating.
So, Manuel, good stuff. Thank you, James. Manuel, so do you feel, in a nutshell, do you feel like that mentality is hurting the average woman if she subscribes to that sort of mindset?
I honestly, no. I don't think the average woman is that stupid to even think that she's going to run around and tell a dude you better not speak my name until you put a ring on it. There's no woman that's going to tell me that I'm not claiming the guy that I'm seeing, boning, sleeping at his place with, been seeing for the last year and a half, met his mama, his daddy, until he put a ring on it. Granted. Now, you made a very valid point in your diatribe much earlier where you said when people are on the same page and marriage is being discussed, if we know that our goal is marriage, we've been seeing each other for months, I know you know that I'm interested in marriage, I know that you're interested in marriage, and we see the possibility within one another to take it there, then there's an understanding that I'm not just saying that you're my dude, I'm saying that you're my dude, and that means that we have the potential to be spouse. We have the potential to be husband and wife. And if we're seeing eye to eye and we know that we're on that track, whether it's 6 months in, whether it's a year and a half in, there is claim laid there. If like James was saying, dating exclusively is one of those things where it's still a gray area. You're still getting to know each other. But once you've made that claim, once you know and this person knows that, okay, you're not seeing anybody. I'm not seeing everybody. I can come by your house when, you know, just, hey, can I come by? You can come by my house. Hey, just come by. Our time and involvement in each other is to that point. There is no way on this planet I'm seeing a woman for a year and we just seeing each other solely. And you're going to say that if somebody comes to you and say, well, who is this guy? And you're going to say, oh, that's just my friend. Listen, I don't want to use the B word again, but B word, please. B word, please. Like, there's no
okay,
woman. They're not doing that. And they're not going to do it because Taraji said something, because they're not that stupid. They're not going to do that. That's not happening. No way.
Okay, hold on. So we're getting like a few calls. We've had some people. I don't know if they're just listening in, but we're going to check in with some of these callers. I have one that's calling in from a 302 area code. Can you hear me? Hello? If this is the caller that's calling from the 3002 area code, you are on. Okay, I don't think they want to say anything. So we're going to put them back on me. I don't think they wanted to say anything. We have another caller that's, let's see, calling in from a 347 area code. Can you hear me? No. I can hear myself on your feedback. I think people, I don't think they want to speak. Hold on. I'm going to try one more, and then we're going to go back into this. Let's see. You have another one calling from 917 area code. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you give us your name?
The name is Brian.
Okay. Did you have a question or something that you wanted to add to this discussion?
Yeah, I was listening to the whole thing, and I don't know. It sounds like the fellows are reading a little bit too much into what Taraji was saying. Because like when I read it, I took it as she was like, okay, I'm a celebrity. I don't want to be associated with all that of a, you know, I don't want to be, like they said, you know, like the next Kim Kardashian, where you're like, oh, she dated this man, she dated that man. And that's fine. Now, for the average girl or the average woman or chick or whatever you want to call her, you're not going to be in there. With her, you're not going to have him saying that I've been dating him for about a year or two and he does all the stuff and I'm not claiming him, but there are a lot of women that's out there saying flat out, it's like, okay, you're not going to get all the benefits of being like my husband. Like, I'm not going to be your wifey. Like, you know, that kind of thing. Saying so, unless you're serious about it, you know, and of course, you know, women get to that point, guys get to that point too, and they're like, okay, I'm not dating just a date anymore. Like, I'm dating for something serious. Like, so you're not going to get those benefits and those certain claims without, you know, showing that some form of commitment. So that's more or less what I gathered from it. Like,
okay.
All that other stuff, you know, yeah, like, regardless of Taraji's status and everything and her stardom, you know, it's more just saying, like, you're not going to be, you're laying up in the bed thinking that you're that one, and you're not putting forth that effort. You know, you got to show and prove.
Show and prove. All right, I feel that. So wait. And you were breaking up a little bit in the beginning. Is this Ghost Town?
Yes, it is.
What's up?
It's good.
What up? New York in the house? Okay.
Always, you know. Hell no.
Right. So
hold on. What you mean, hell no? Come on,
hey, man. Hey. Hey, listen. Hey, you know, there's always that north-south thing where we kind of New York, New York, whatever.
See, that's cold, man. That's cold because you know I'm up for both New York and for Atlanta since I went to school down there. But that's cold. You want to treat me like that?
Yeah,
that's all right.
How about we just go rep the West Coast up in here because that's where I'm from. So whatever. California, that's just good.
Where's that button for the crickets?
you don't get to call in and it dictates the sound effect.
Call in, take a shot.
You call in talking about where's the button for the crickets. All right, did you have anything else, John, to add? Is that it?
And I'm gonna leave it at that because y'all already moved on past that first thing. You know, I was just cracking up and y'all was talking about that people were trying to hit on, you know, same gender kind of thing.
Hey.
Oh,
I had some words about that.
It's not funny. It's not funny. It's not a funny thing.
Huh?
Yeah, that's.
Because Mom felt very violated, and we should just have a moment of silence. I'm serious. Let's just have a moment of silence for someone trying to molest Manuel. Can we just have a moment?
Wait, hold on.
Where did
we
get you? You got to keep that phone on speed dial, man.
How did we get from a couple of molestations?
Because Manuel, if you got to look inside his head and knew what he wanted from you, that's pretty much what it boils down to.
I'm not interested. I don't want to know.
All right, keep listening in, John. Okay, we're gonna keep going.
All right,
listen. Okay, so we've covered that. We see, you know, there's different ways to look at this whole Taraji, whatever. What else? There's so many things that have been going on in the headlines. Anything that stuck out to you guys this week?
Well, you know,
There's so many. Hello.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, good. Because I've been muting because I'm trying to wash clothes at the same time. It's called multitasking.
So, get off of the
shit. I'm trying to wash clothes. Hey, look, I have to wash clothes.
Go ahead.
I don't want the dryer and the wash machine all in the. So I've been muting you guys back and forth. So, but the light doesn't work on the phone, so I don't know if I'm on mute or not. But anyway,
okay.
So I had this conversation about offensive language. And this was one of the things. My question is, have you guys ever used a term or a phrase only to find out later on that it was offensive or kind of a racial slur or a racial dig? Now, Steve Liguel, you're from Southern California, and I know Latins, and I heard this a lot in more when I lived in L.A. than I lived anywhere else, but darkie. Darkie is a term that a lot of Mexicans and Puerto Ricans use.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things. So I was having this conversation, and the girl, she was just like, well, that's the term I use, and I'm not getting ready to be PC and change my language. And it's like, well, wouldn't you think that over a period of time that you come to realize, like, in certain situations, that word is offensive, and you'd stop using it. Because here in Chicago, we used to call this one place where we go shopping, we called it Jewtown. And I had no idea what it meant when I was growing up. It was just Jewtown. And basically, it was because, I guess, the reputation of Jews being miserly, and that you go in and you'd have to haggle with prices and everything like that. And that's what the area was. It wasn't even Jewish. It was East Asians and stuff like that who owned all the stores. But you'd haggle and stuff. But we called it Jewtown. And it wasn't until I was older, grown basically, that I realized, it's like, wait a minute, that's an offensive term. And I just completely stopped using it. So my question is about offensive language, is that do you find yourself using offensive language simply because that's the way you spoke all of your life? And then at what point do you stop using certain terms because you figure out, like, this is really offensive?
Go ahead, Leah.
Yeah, for me, we were born and raised in the church, so everything, we can do anything. So I didn't really have the opportunity to really get into offending other people because we, you know, because of our upbringing in the church, you know. So everything was considered a no-no, you know, cursing and so forth. Now, I would sneak in a curse word here and there, but of course I felt guilty, like, you know, God was going to get me. So I think I was always cognizant of things that would come off offensive to other people because we were taught to speak in love and kindness, you know, to other individuals. So, and like you said, in California, San Diego, we're right next to Mexico, and, you know, they have their way of saying certain things that they, you know, a lot of times you're just not, you know, depending on how you're raised and the culture that you're raised around, you know, things just become, you know, the norm. So you're not seeing it as offensive. And until you get out into the world and experience other cultures and other ethnicities and people, I think that's when, you know, you become enlightened. Like, you try to enlighten this female, but, you know, some people are stupid and they don't want that. So for me, I would say I don't know. I haven't. If I say it and it's offensive, it's because I know it's going to offend you.
Okay.
I've seen, I know when, you know, I was born in Austin, Texas, and I know when we were coming up, if you looked anything Hispanic, you were a Mexican. Not Mexican, but M-E-S-C-A-N, Mexican. And that's because it's Texas, you know, because it's right there. So the older people just assume. But when I moved to Atlanta, I kind of carried that with me, and you couldn't just call a person Hispanic or Latino. You couldn't say Mexican. You couldn't refer to them as Mexican because they identified with exactly where they were from, whether it was South America or Central America or Cuba or whatever. They would let you know very quickly that that's not what they were. And it wasn't that they were embarrassed to be called that. It's that they wanted to be acknowledged for who they were, what they were, and their own ethnic background. For myself, you know, I'm kind of like Miguel in a sense where I was always made aware that there's a time and place for everything. So for the most part, I was always aware. But the one thing that I did find offensive that I wasn't aware of, because I'm from the South, you know, so I lived in Austin, Texas, moved to Atlanta in 93. So if you weren't black, you just did not use the N-word. Like, it just did not happen. But as I got a little older, I realized that there are passes given in certain regions of the country that were not given in the South. In certain parts of Florida, if, you know, white people or Hispanic people or you know, if they grew up in the same neighborhood with black people, they kind of got a pass. Same in New York.
I don't know about that.
Exactly. But the same in New York. I know people from New York who kind of have given passes. And I've been like, there has never been a pass given in certain regions of the country. And if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, let's just say you're from New York or you're from Florida and you've been given this pass and you're in the wrong place, and let's just say you're reciting a line or referring to one of your friends and that pops out, come on, man, that's trouble. So I've seen that. I have actually literally seen that in person, to where a person who wasn't black used that term, and they weren't trying to be offensive. They were just using it as if they were one of us, and it didn't work out too well.
That'd get you beat up in a lot of, you know, because you brought a good point because that's what I'm saying. When, you know, there's you know, I witnessed that myself, you know, where there have been non-black people who were raised around black people in the hood, And they, you know, I guess in some sense got a pass because that's how they were raised. And they feel like, you know, because their people accepted it, you know, they were like, yo, what up, Nick? You know, and they felt like that's all good. And you get into other settings where you might have some of those people that are in your circle, but you're also, there's people there that weren't in the circle. And so they're hearing this person talking and saying things, you know, and I've seen it almost go down. So you have to be, that's just a level of ignorance in my opinion, because if you feel like you can just say that N word and your skin, I don't know. That's crazy to me.
You know, the thing about it is the rule is that black people, you have to train your non-black friends.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, look.
Wait, are you black?
Let me say this.
Are you a black person, James?
Yes. You have to train those non-black, you have to train your non-black friends. Okay, if you're going to give them a pass, understand, this pass works in this house. It does not transfer to other houses. Okay?
Right.
It's like on the bus pass. You know what? The bus pass works in the city. It doesn't work in the suburbs. Okay? You go out there and try to use that pass, you're going to get your ass whooped. So just be aware of that, you know.
So we need to have training sessions for this or what?
You know what? Here's, Miguel, I am a professional trainer. It's what I do. I do instructional design. I tell people, let's do this. Let's create our objectives and create measurable assessments. Is that your objective is to not get your white friend ass kicked. Okay, your measurable, how do we assess if successful? Well, if they went over to Harlem, talked, discussed, conversed, came back, and did not get their ass whooped, you trained that person properly. Good job, young man. That's what you have to do. Okay?
Hold on, I got a point. See, this is the problem. This is the only problem with any sort of training whatsoever. I mean, and James makes a very valid point, but this is the one thing that you can't train for. We all know what happens when you get a little bit of the sauce in your system. So one of these days, one of these trained people that are not of African-American descent, they're not black, they're going to be having a drink, having a good time, and they're going to have what they call a Freudian slip. Because it's in their dialogue, and they use it. But and they suppress it when they know that they have to suppress it based on environment or whatever else. However, comfort totally throw that off. You get a little too comfortable, have a little bit too much to drink, and next thing you know, it slips. And this person missing half of their mouth because it slipped when they had a drink. All I'm saying is, for me, and any one in my presence, I'm not giving that pass, ever. It's not a pass because I don't want to set you up for failure when you're out having a drink, enjoying yourself. You know, you're watching a football game and the running back is black and he makes a good play and he busts one for a touchdown and you say,
like, that nigga's rolling, man, that nigga's rolling.
Now you're getting dove on in somebody's living room and you just flipped up. You know, oh, come on, I ain't sending him up for that. Like, nah, bro, just don't say it at all. Don't do it.
You know, it's got to be more like military training. It has to be where it's just like, look, guys, when we get on the flight deck, understand, no matter what happens, you never, ever stop paying attention. You are always on. The second you get on that flight deck, 12 hours, you are on. It has to be like that. But again, you know what? See, because the problem is, like you said, you go to a game, liquor starts flowing, everybody's giving dabs and stuff like that. Next thing you know, 1 minute you're having drinks, toasting. Second later, you're getting your ass whooped. And, you know, you're like, damn. It turns that fast. Like, yes, it turns that fast. My only thing is that some level of responsibility has to go to black people. We have to not – I don't say that word ever in front of non-black people.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I personally wish – the word would just, you know, stop. I don't see the point of it. But hold on, we're done with that. I had a question. I had a question for you guys, and I can answer for James because someone's inboxing, wondering if you guys are single. James is married happily. James, he speaks about his beautiful wife on every show, so I don't know what that's about. And Manuel, you are single, correct?
You should not ask that question. Don't ask that question. Because there's somebody out there listening right now saying, that nigga better claim me. You talking about claiming, folks? I gave it to you. You better claim me. I'm serious. Because right now, if he can look in his laundry right now, go look in your laundry. There's a pair of drawers in your laundry, man.
I have two absolutely 100% designated boos, and that is Morgan and Michelle Hill. Those are my two boos, Morgan and Michelle Hill. They're these little wonderful daughters.
Those are your babies, right?
Those are my boos, babes, babies, all that, security, everything. Now, as far as relationship status, dating, all that stuff, I am at the moment unavailable.
Oh, really? Wow. I didn't know that, Mama. I thought she was.
At the moment unavailable.
Okay, so at the moment you are available, so you're single.
At the moment, I'm unavailable.
Oh, you're unavailable. Okay.
At the moment, unavailable for any sort of commitment at the moment. I was just saying. I mean, if somebody wants to go out and have drinks, that's fine. I mean, just let them know, I'll go out and have drinks and exchange pleasantries and all that other stuff. But at the moment, I am unavailable.
You just hurt so many hearts right there.
No, I didn't. Nobody said me ever.
Mama, you are so full of it.
That was an acrobatic description of it. That's for sure.
You were doing some yoga moves in that answer, by the way.
I was Neo in the Matrix on that one. Them bullets were flying. I'm just ducking and dodging and weaving. Like, ain't finna kick.
Okay, that's the Matrix stuff right there. So.
Even though James, you are married, and I want to put that out there because I'm gonna leave that alone. I have another question. Is it true? Hold on. I don't want to get this right. Is it true that men don't really have types, but rather go with what they see as attractive in each individual woman that they come in contact with? Is that true?
Let me tell you this. This is how it works. Okay, there are levels to this. And there are levels to this. There is a type that, yes, you are going to go for when you want that woman. I mean, there's a type that's like, man, this is my woman, this is my wife, this is the woman I want to be with. And then there are types where, again, and I'm telling you, it has happened. You're walking in the grocery store, next thing you know, you trip right into some coochie. And I don't know why Miguel always gets on me when I say that happens. It happens.
Why? How are you falling into vagina? No.
I'm telling you.
No.
You know what? It's just that. It's one of those things. Just think about it. You know how they have the cereal aisle set up, right? And they have the Wheaties on top and the Cocoa Puffs on the bottom. You bend over to pick up Cocoa Puffs, right? And that's what happens. I mean, it's just like Cocoa Puffs, Fruit Loops, Lucky Charms, coochie. And it is right there. So when it comes to that, there's no type. When it comes to just hanging and stuff like that, there may be a particular type. When it comes to you're the wingman and you have to go in because you're the wingman, you can't have a type on that. You got to go, you got to put all aside all your morals, your standards and everything, and you just got to go in. So it depends on where you're at with a particular mentality, a situation, environment, and where you are in your life. I mean, that's basically
okay, so-
how it is.
So they wanted. So you're kind of saying then that men don't have a type. You just. So Manuel, what is your answer to that question? She wants to know.
No, we do have a type when we want a woman in our life.
Okay.
Other than that,
there you go.
There is no type.
So you have a type when it comes to the woman that you will settle down with, but you don't have a type when it comes to the vagina that you'll
everything
fall
else.
Into in the interim. Okay.
Right.
There you go. That's an accurate way to put it, because as far as settling, as far as looking at it as something long term, there is a type, and there are circumstances involved with a type. You know, where they are in life, what's going on, what are their expectations, goals, and aspirations, and all the other good stuff. But yeah, there's definitely a type, but she can come in variations, but that mold isn't going to be broken because you know you're not in a relationship, or because you're lonely, or because you're trying to keep somebody around. And I'm not going to lie to someone and tell them they fit the description
to
be.
Hold on, Manuel. I'm getting a question for you. What is your type?
Man, come on, man. Listen.
Manuel, let me answer that question for you. Which? Breathing. Okay. And a dime. That's what you have to be.
Listen. It's too much. That's too much of a loaded question. We do not have enough time for me to remotely answer that.
We have enough time for you to answer that question.
Oh, God. You don't see me on the hot seat. Oh, that is big.
Here's the thing. You know, people know that they can ask you guys questions. They can ask us questions.
Yeah. I don't mind. I thought we were up against the clock. Okay. My type. Wow, that's bananas.
Give me a short version of what your type is. Give a short version.
And I'm going to have to use some adjectives to make this short. She has to be eclectic, period. Like, you have to be very versatile as an individual. Critical thinking, have some political savvy, have some class, be a little, I need a little ratchetness, inhibitions. I need you to not have so many inhibitions, yet you have to have standards. I can say now there's circumstances that will not lead to a certain – I mean, there's red flags or circumstances that will totally cancel a woman out. I do not want more children. That is not happening. I am good. If you got a whole bunch of children, I am not doing that. If you got a tattoo across your chest, if you got a tattoo across your chest, nah, man, I can't do it. There's so many things, but physically, I just have to like what I see physically. If I don't like what I see physically, it is what it is. So I can't say she got to be 5'3", 130, 36, 24, 36. I mean, that's nice. Everybody likes that. However, I keep myself in shape, so I prefer somebody that kind of sort of does, or is at least working toward it. You know, a woman that can dress, a woman that carries herself well. And you've got to have a stank-ass walk when you're in them heels. You can't be struggling in heels. You are grown. You got to have a mean walk. Matter of fact, I need you to be able to run and catch a bus in heels. Like, that's how bad you got to be when you're walking in the heels. That's just a thing.
Okay,
there's so many levels.
Thank you, Manuel. Thank you.
Questions, boy, I swear.
Those were inbox questions, and so I'm not going to put their
names
out.
I want names.
I don't know if that answer was good for them, or if they're just like, oh my god. So you are funny. How many drinks have you finished for this?
Just one. Because if I had like several, it wouldn't be. I might be slurring and skipping and doing all of the kind of stuff. So I don't want to be too out of control. I need to be aware.
Okay, so this is, we have a few more minutes, so we're going to end it on a fun note. I don't know, James kind of acts like he can't, you know, I don't know. He's doing laundry and sitting on the couch, like, you know, with his hand in his pants and so forth.
I'm good. You know what? I mean, I have two loads done, so
wow.
I'm not bothered by a thing.
Thank, thanks for that, James. Thank you for that visual of you doing laundry. Okay, so explain to me, you guys, in the next, I'm going to give you, we just have a few more minutes, but explain the concept of having, you want a lady, because Manuel, you said something, you want a little ratchet in her. So men want, you want the lady in the street, right? And then you want the freak in the sheet. Explain all of that. How freaky can a lady be and still be considered a lady?
Don't come in my bedroom. Don't listen. I don't like. Let me put it like this.
That was such a good question. How freaky can a lady be and still be considered a lady? Come on, for real.
Because, okay, in the sheets, she just, listen, I this is going to sound really bad, but just do what I tell you to do. Whatever I can conjure in my imagination, just do it.
I think you're probably dirty in the bed. I think you're probably just like... I think you are just out of control. So you tell me you want a woman, because here's my thing. If a woman, if you get a woman and she's, you know, she's all prim and proper, and then you start dating her, and then you get her in the bedroom and she's ready to do whatever you say, I mean, that's not going to play in the back of your mind like, wait a minute, how are you this dirty? Like this, like you just like, you know, you like totally freaky. That's not a turn off because she's doing it with you, or
don't bust it wide open the first time around. I mean, I want to earn a certain level of ratchet. You want to earn a certain level of nastiness from a woman. You know, once things are more so established and you know y'all are in y'all groove and y'all have a comfort level, then yeah. So if that's your woman, then you know you can go uncorked. So for example, the first night you and a woman doing something, if she's just busting everything wide open, I'm gonna be like, wait a minute, I didn't even ask you to do all that, and I might have liked the idea of it, but how often do you do this? Like, when's the last time?
Right.
That was a little, okay. I'm like, listen, let me put it like this. That region is a little too loose for you to be doing that. So I'm just wondering, how often do you do that? See, that'll be a problem. So you don't necessarily want her to bust it wide open that quick, but I'm just saying once that's your woman and y'all are.
This is just an observation, but I think you like saying bust it wide open. And when you say that, I'm like, what are you?
Listen, when you say bust it wide open, that means everything. That means everything. But you ain't, there's no, but I'm saying you don't want that. However, if that's your woman, like James and his wife are married, obviously. They've been in this game for a minute. I'm pretty sure he ain't trying to hear no no's for no answer. So she can be as off the chain. She can be swinging off chandeliers and stealing fans and doing flips and everything else. He's probably got a gimp mask, a whip, some chains, everything else in his bedroom. Outside of that room, she needs to be able to represent him in the classiest fashion possible to where people would just be shocked to hear that Mrs. Manning was doing XYZ. That's what you want. You want the rest of the world to be shocked when you be sitting there, shit, y'all don't know how nasty my old lady is. I'm embarrassed, girl. I don't believe your mama raised you like that. Your mama ought to be ashamed of you, girl.
God.
You so bad. Yeah.
You're such a freak. Are you into the whips and all that stuff, Mama?
No, man, why would you come back to me?
Because you said it. You.
No, I said James probably got all that stuff. I didn't say to me.
You know what though? James is so laid back, Mr. Those are the ones you got to watch.
He's tightening up the leather right now. He's getting ready, everything.
I think he's looking at the clock and he's like, wait a minute, we're like 10 minutes over from me.
I know. He told Miss Manning to sit still 10 minutes ago and she ain't moved. He's like, you wait right there. don't move.
I can totally feel. I can totally see James in like the leather, you know, those leather pants.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Wait a minute. I gotta make a trick out of me. Well, I will say this. Without disclosing to me details, you can do what you want to do. Be who you want to be. You know, it is, I think there's a song that have those words. Do what you wanna do.
Oh God!
Yes. It's a Commodore song. Some of the people who's listening right now, they know that song. It's a Commodore song.
Oh no!
It's by the Commodores. That's the thing about it. So you do what you want to do, be what you want to be. Okay, but like you said, Manuel said it perfectly. If I walk in for the first time, and there are handcuffs and whips and, you know, floggers and stuff like that, I'm still going to hit.
Floggers?
That will probably be the last time. Cause my thing is like the pain threshold.
He knows the terms for this stuff.
What is
a flogger? I've never heard of that.
Oh, no, a flogger.
Yeah. There you go.
What? He said, he's like the chains, the whips, the floggers. Like, what
yeah,
are you doing in your bedroom?
You guys, come on, man. No, you know what? Here, I will post it online what a flogger is.
Mm-hmm,
it's basically,
mm-hmm.
you know, little, it has a handle with long leather, little straps on it, and you know, you whip people with it.
How many have you bought?
I've only had one. It lasts a long time.
We have to stop. Okay, but for the record, because I want you to finish your answer on the open forum page, please, James, because we want to know what a flogger is and why do you know what a flogger is? Because that's just like you're like a freak now. I don't know. Wow, my whole view of you has changed.
Exactly. trying to put it on me and James over there tightening up the flogger and everything else. Hell no.
So wait, James, but let me ask you this before we end this. What's that thing where it's like this strap and it's like a ball in the mouth, in the person's mouth, and it's like strapped around their head? What is that called?
That is...
Don't act like you don't know.
Let's see. I forgot what it is, but I know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
okay.
I think it's a ball gag or something. It's a type of gag. Ball
That's
gag.
What it is.
Yeah.
Ball gagger.
Yeah, because Manuel, you're not fooling us either. We know that you're doing some stuff.
Celibate.
All right, you guys, we went over time, but I thank you. It was fun. You guys can say bye.
Okay, I'll be posting the flogger online. You guys need to go pick up one. They do last a long time, too.
Oh, my God. All right, we want to thank you for listening in. You've been listening to Urban Conversation with myself, your host, Legale Marie, and my co-host, Manuel Hill, and James Manning. If you have not already, make sure you join us on our Facebook page. It's Urban Conversation Radio. You'll be able to participate in open chats as well as interact with the host. We hope you enjoyed the show. We will see you on Sunday. Join the conversation with Urban Conversation. Have a good evening.